I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Very big show for you today. Joel Webbin will be joining us in the third hour. Very controversial figure on X because of his hot takes about religion and politics and others. Very excited to talk to him. We got a lot of stories to get to. Somalia and the invasion of Minnesota by Somalians will be the main focus of a lot of our coverage today. I've done a lot of digging into this, some horrifying things to show you. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 4th of December, 2025. Suspect arrested in January 5th D.C. pipe bomb case. The FBI has arrested a suspect in its investigation into pipe bombs planted near the Republican and Democratic National Party headquarters in Washington, D.C. Brian Cole Jr., 30 years old, was arrested and charged with transporting an explosive device and attempting malicious destruction by means of explosive material, according to the charging document filed Thursday afternoon. The arrest marks a breakthrough in a case that has stymied investigations for nearly 5 years. Attorney General Pam Bondi credited investigators and prosecutors for sifting through evidence that had been sitting at the FBI, noting how no new tips led to the arrest. Just a reinvestigation of the evidence already in their hands. I'm not so sure about this. We'll tell you what they're saying, and we'll show you the video from the press conference. Just call me skeptical if you want. Seems a bit coincidental that we have literally zero new updates for 5 years on this case. Then Steve Baker and The Blaze come out saying that they're pretty certain that they've discovered who planted the bombs, claiming it was a Capitol Police woman who later joined the CIA. And then a week later, suddenly we have an arrest of this anarchist guy. It's just, what a coincidence. What an incredible coincidence. What are the odds, folks? What are the odds? Unbelievable is what they are. So yeah, we'll return to this, but it's all very convenient. Meanwhile, CDC vaccine advisors to revisit hepatitis B vaccine at birth. Federal vaccine advisors selected by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. delayed until Friday a vote to lift a longstanding recommendation for all newborns to get the hepatitis B vaccine in what would be the most sweeping revision to the childhood vaccine schedule under Kennedy. The advisors heard presentations in the morning, including from two prominent vaccine critics hired by the CDC, casting doubt on the safety and necessity of three-dose series of hepatitis B vaccines given to babies, despite widespread agreement by medical and public health experts that the vaccine is safe and effective. Safe and effective, but also unnecessary and also not safe or effective, but it might be effective. At giving girls cancer, the whole thing's ridiculous. It's just another one of these things where it's the valve. It's the governmental valve that we've been discussing, the one-way ratchet. When they introduced hepatitis B vaccines, when they, by fiat, dictated that every single newborn within 10 minutes of breathing their first breath be injected with this vaccine for a disease you only get by sharing drug needles, it just sort of happened. It just sort of appeared and it just, you know, quietly was integrated. And yeah, now you have to do this, even though it's a much more significant change going from not injecting your baby with a denuded hepatitis B vaccine to injecting them. A lot bigger of a deal than just going back to not doing that. Regardless, that happened originally without a discussion, without objection, without even really weighing the pros and cons. It just sort of happened. Now that they want to reverse that decision, we're going to have infinite and possibly impossible to overcome barriers to reversing that decision. Meanwhile, Representative Ilhan Omar discusses Trump's attacks on Somali immigrants. This is not going well for them. We'll get into this. We're just, the Somali immigrant topic is going to be a major topic of conversation today as we just point by point dismantle everything anybody ever says positive about that population. Pentagon says Pete Hegseth completely cleared of Signalgate controversy. Thank goodness. Let's get back to calling him a war criminal about the boats, okay? Because it's not ending. They're not going to stop until they get Hegseth out. It's the key point in their entire plan to, you know, overthrow Trump with the military. It must be done. We just have to find a scandal to do it with.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We got a lot to cover today. We've got this statement from a Venezuelan military intelligence whistleblower confirming the CIA outsources election rigging technology like Smartmatic from Venezuela. Pretty bombshell stuff. Of course, you're watching Alex Jones Show. You saw him discussing that, and we'll get back into that. But I think we'll start with the pipe bomber press conference that occurred. I'm just a little suspicious of it. I'd love to live in a country where, when the FBI, the Attorney General of the nation, and the FBI director, and like these very important and high-powered people get up and speak into the camera saying that something happened, I would love to be able to believe them. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be nice to have the most authoritative people in your nation telling you the truth to the point that you can just accept what they say without skepticism? We're not anywhere near that at this point, and I have a lot of questions about the discovery of this pipe bomber. Is it coincidental? Is it just a coincidence that about a week or so ago, Steve Baker and The Blaze came out saying they thought they had identified the pipe bomber through gait analysis and determined that it was a member of the Capitol Police Force who was later recruited by the CIA? And then just 1 week later, they claimed to have found the real person, some guy named, what is it, Brian Cole, I think. Is that just coincidence? Was that that's just random, huh? So for 5 years, we get literally nothing. I mean, has there been, unless I'm misremembering, it was shortly after January 6th, we got the video of the pipe bomber themselves, and then that was it. That was in early 2021. We are now at late 2025, and there's been no development whatsoever for 5 years, and then a week after, The Blaze claims to have found the pipe bomber. The FBI comes out and says, no, actually, we just found him just now. What do you know? We're so good at our jobs. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't necessarily have anything specific to point to. Just a general sense of skepticism. Brian Cole Jr., 30, was arrested and charged with transporting an explosive device and attempted malicious destruction by means of explosive materials. Attorney General Pam Bondi credited investigators and prosecutors for sifting through evidence that had been sitting at the FBI, noting that no new tips had led to the arrest. Quote, this investigation is ongoing, Bondi said. As we speak, search warrants are being executed and there could be more charges to come. Okay, cool. Again, they gave a bunch of speeches. I thought about clipping some of them out, but it's a lot of chest beating and not a lot of information about it, actually. I have one selected clip from the pipe bomber presser. It's Janine Pirro, who apparently was sort of in charge of this task force. Here's a video of them raiding the suspect's house. They say he continued to make bomb material even after his failed attempt on January 5th. Why did it fail? Why didn't the bombs go off? That's my question. Were they explosive? Did you just not do it very well? I'm just confused. Why didn't the bombs go off if they were there for like 17 hours? And if they didn't go off when they were supposed to, why didn't you go collect them? I'm just thinking through this here in real time. So you've got this person who goes and drops off a bomb in front of the DNC and a bomb in front of the RNC and then walks away. It's got a timer on it. It's got an egg timer on it, like a kitchen timer. Now, I have one of those kitchen timers. It goes up to 60 minutes. Is this some sort of modified one that had a longer fuse? Or did he set it, prime it to explode in 30 minutes, and then just left and never went back? Like, why would he not go back to collect the bomb if it didn't go off? Why didn't it go off? I don't think any of these questions were answered. Viva Fry clipped out one part, and he's like, this is the most information you get from the press conference. It's Jeanine Pirro talking about the way that they, I guess, found the end caps from the bomb and then systematically went through every single purchase of those end caps from every single store in America to try to cross-analyze where it could have come from with other activity from what they knew of the suspect. Sounds very complicated and fake. It sounds very complicated and very not true. Let's go to Jeanine Pirro. Here's her celebrating finding the January 5th pipe bomber. Let's watch.
You know, folks, this case involved millions of pieces of data. And it is a huge win because it was like finding a needle in a haystack. So much of this evidence was very specific, but a lot of it was also very general. For example, there were 233,000 black end caps of the type that were used in this case. I want you to think about the fact that the FBI had to go through the sale of every one of them to try to find commonality with an individual along with the purchase of the pipe itself, the cap ends, the wires, the steel, and the 9-volt batteries. Every one of those had to be mined and remined to the point where we were able to then connect. And make no mistake, it was this administration, it was this president who made the decision that we were going to use all of our efforts to get it done, and get it done they did.
Have you recovered the notable sneakers? Have you done surveillance of this suspect from that aha moment to when you exercised the search warrants today? And obviously this happened on January 5th into January 6th. How should the public look at this case separate from all of the cases related to what transpired on January 6th and the president's subsequent pardons?
I'm going to let Director Patel take the evidence part. We have to be careful again. You've asked very good investigative questions, but this is ongoing, very active. But America should feel safer today. We say a pipe bomb. These are bombs. These were live, active bombs that were placed in Washington, D.C. Director.
Thank you. This shows you how much detail you and the American public have paid attention to this case. Of course, we analyzed everything that you're seeing on this poster board and information that you will see through the formal charging process and court process. But we want to let that evidence speak for itself because, again, we do not want to disrupt the accountability that we owe the American public. Yes, you heard about the cell phone tower data. Yes, you heard about, of course, we surveil individuals who we think we're going to blow up American citizens. But how and when we do it and why we do it is not something we're ever going to reveal unless the Department of Justice deems it fit at trial. So we appreciate your attention to detail and your hardcore investigative work, but you can just imagine some of those same skills are being utilized by this FBI, this Department of Justice, our partners, the ATF, and everybody across the board. And this is an interagency win for the American people.
Okay, so that's what we got. That's the information we got, more or less, from this press conference. Apparently, they stormed the house around 8:15 a.m. this morning. A neighbor looked out the window and saw officers standing outside the suspect's home, ordering people to inside to come out with their hands raised. The daughter saw Officers handcuffed a middle-aged woman and a younger man, placed them in a patrol car, and then returned them to the house. It wasn't clear if they were brought back out again, the neighbor said. The neighbor said it's a quiet block with friendly neighbors. He didn't appear to interact with people that lived at the address. And this was in Northern Virginia, where this guy was arrested. The FBI said the pipe bombs, which were discovered about 15 hours after they were placed, were viable devices that could have seriously injured or killed bystanders. The Bureau said investigators have conducted more than 1,000 interviews and reviewed tens of thousands of video files. Last month, it says the FBI debunked another piece of speculation that suggested the bombs were planted by a former Capitol Police officer. I don't remember it being debunked. I remember them denying it, but I don't think anybody ever sued over it for defamation, which you would expect since they, you know, published the person's name and face and everything in the accusation. They're pretty confident in it. And then 1 week later, we get this Brian Cole Jr. fella. So there you go. The speculation, or at least the reporting so far, is that he's an anarchist, I guess, which would align sort of with Antifa theology, ideology. But there's a lot of still unanswered questions about all of this. Like, I guess what we're being told is the way they found him was through tracking the purchases of these end caps for the PVC bomb, or not PVC, but whatever, the pipe end caps. I'd like to know what else they did that failed. Like, how do you not find this guy for 5 years? How do you not have any new information for 5 years? You're not tracking his cell phone. You're not able to track him as he goes through the city. You weren't able to find a vehicle that he got into, anybody that he interacted with. I mean, all we have was like 30 seconds of video footage. And even in that footage, the man is seen waving a salute to a cop car as it rolls by. That's a little suspicious. Again, if these bombs were viable and primed and live, why didn't they go off? I mean, put yourself in the mindset of a pipe bomber, okay? Think about it for yourself for a little bit. How many of these things would you do, right? Would you set a bomb for 15 hours? I mean, when you're making a bomb, it's a pretty safe thing to do. If you're at home, if you haven't, you know, searched the stuff, like, no one's going to come kicking down your door while you're making the bomb. You know, unless you're speeding or driving erratically, no one's going to pull you over while you carry the bomb. There's only a very small moment where your whole plan can be discovered, exposed, and stopped, and that's after you plant the bomb and before it goes off. So that's the time you want to minimize, right? I'm just thinking, you know, hypothetically here, if I was trying to bomb somewhere, what I wouldn't do is plant a bomb where it can be seen by any passerby and have it go off 24 hours later. What? Typically, isn't the point of having a time bomb that it's enough time for you just to get away and then it goes off? Isn't that the point? And that way you have an egg timer because you don't need to set something for 12 hours from now. You set it for 1 minute from now, just to get you enough time to clear the area. I mean, I guess if he was trying to, like, flee the country, maybe you'd set it for an hour. But then when you hide it a little better, this isn't making sense to me, personally. Was it set to go off in 16 hours and they found it 15 hours in, thank God? Is that what happened? Or did he set it to go off in 30 minutes and then it didn't and he thought, yeah, oh well. I tried, you know. Gave it my best shot. Oh well. He just left it there. Like, you'd either, if you set it for a brief timer and then nothing happens, you're either going to go pick it up because you don't want it to be discovered because it's still intact, which means there's still evidentiary qualities to it. So you don't want the police to find your intact, unexploded bomb. So maybe you just go collect it so the police don't get it, or you would go collect it so you could figure out what was wrong with it so you could set it off again. Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud here. What was this exactly? And what was the person trying to accomplish? Now, according to the press conference, we got a lot of vague vocabulary about an attack on our way of life. Okay, what? But why on January 5th? Why at the DNC and the RNC? A lot of this just isn't aligning for me. So maybe we'll find out more as more information is forthcoming. the timing to me is still the most suspicious part, but there's a lot of these other questions that don't have answers either. There's also the fact that the bomb itself was made to look like to the exact specifications and using the exact materials that the FBI uses when it's foiling bomb plots. It's a really common thing that they'll do. The FBI, and sometimes it'll be that they actually start the whole process in the first place, but other times it is legitimate where they'll infiltrate a group of some sort or, you know, identify a person that is making extremist content, extremist statements, and they'll get in contact with them undercover and they'll help them to carry out their plan. Of course, they think they're being helped. Really, it's the FBI just luring them in. And they'll usually go so far, like to get the conviction, you can't just arrest somebody and go, trust us, he wanted to build a bomb. He was totally going to do something, but we stopped him. You have to actually fulfill certain requirements. Like there's a checklist you have to get to, and it's very specific. There's things like the FBI has to ask them at least 3 times, are you sure you want to do this? Okay, so what happens is you get some radical guy, he's pissed off. Like there's a movie about this. There's like an FBI film about this. I need to find the name for it. But in that story, and it's based on a true story, there's a guy from Alaska. He was pissed off that his house was being foreclosed on by the bank, and he blamed this district judge for ruling against him. So he was going to go bomb the district judge. And so he goes to his nephew, who is an explosives expert in a construction company, and says, hey, can you give me a bomb? His nephew goes, this isn't good, calls the FBI and says, hey, I think my uncle's going to bomb somebody. The FBI says, okay, you're working with us. Do what your uncle said. Help your uncle, you know, pretend to build him a bomb. We're going to give you a fake bomb. But the uncle has to take that bomb, plant the bomb, set the bomb, in his mind, thinking he's bombing somebody. Then you arrest him. So you go, this wasn't just a guy talking about doing this. He tried to do it. Now, it was a fake bomb that we supplied, that the FBI supplied him, so it didn't succeed. But if we hadn't been there, then he would have done this with another bomb, you know. So he goes to jail. But you have to, like, 3 times you have to go, well, you're about to plant the bomb. Are you sure you want to? You don't have to. And they have to give him at least 3 times or else it's entrapment. And the case won't go anywhere. So like they have very particular methods for doing that exact thing. You find somebody who's a radical, they want to bomb somebody, you give them a fake bomb, they go plant the fake bomb, you arrest them, no harm, no foul. Nobody gets hurt, no bomb explodes, the bomb was never a real bomb in the first place. That's how this works. So when they do that, they have, you know, particular bombs that they make, right? They aren't just coming up with a new type of bomb every time they run one of these operations. They have a standard bomb that they create, and it looks exactly like the one that was found. And the one that was found didn't explode after 15 hours. So it was either never going to explode, never actually rigged to explode, or rigged to explode 15 or more hours after it was planted. That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, those are my questions I still have about it. Seems to me, just on first blush, like this, it just seems a lot like it's the cover-up. It's a patsy. It's what they've come out with to stop everybody speculating about who the real bomber is. I personally haven't seen a picture or a video of this guy yet. We're showing videos of the guy's home there in Northern Virginia. Looks like a very nice home. Of course, Northern Virginia does happen to be the place where all of the intelligence community offices and homes are based. It is the richest part of the entire country because it's where all of the government contractors, weapons manufacturers, and heads of the military industrial complex make their home. And that seemed to be a very well-off neighborhood that this person was in. So maybe we'll find out more about that as time unfolds. But I have my questions. But I'm just a little suspicious. Sorry. Sorry about that. Oh, geez. Okay, so we're going to move on. Do we need to get into Somalis? Do we have to get into Somalis? Let me ask you this question first. What does it mean if I say to you, BOGO sups? Does that mean anything to you? If you're walking down the street, somebody sees you and winks at you and says, you know, it's BOGO sups right now. Are you offended? What do you think that means? I'd never heard of it until yesterday, but it exists now. It's the short. It's the cool Generation Z shorthand way of saying buy one, get one free on all supplements. That's what it means. It's the code word. Now you know. Little wink and a nod. Buy one, get one free on all supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. BOGO subs. Hashtag BOGO subs. For the remaining 10 days, there will be we will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning, so make sure you take action before they end. Basically, they go until we run out, and that we could run out at any moment. All supplements are buy one, get one free while supplies last. This ends on Saturday. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This is actually better than BOGO, okay? This is BOGO Plus. This is you buy any supplement and you get any other supplement free. Most of the time, when people do buy one, get one free sales, it's whatever your cheapest product is will be free, but not us. Us, it's you buy one supplement of any sort, you get any other supplement free, so you can buy a cheap one, get an expensive one. And by the way, we have some really nice new supplements now. I probably shouldn't even be giving you these tips. I probably should be maximizing the profit that we make, but I'm going to do it anyway. We got this new DNA supplement, and it is incredible. And it's sort of our follow-up. It is the younger brother. The new and improved version of DNA Force Plus, and it's called DNA Revival, Ultra DNA Revival, I should say. And, you know, those tend to be a little bit more expensive because the products in there, the supplements in there, are so difficult to harvest and bring to you at such a high quality. So, hey, again, I probably shouldn't be telling you this. Buy a cheap supplement. Get DNA, Ultra DNA Revival for absolutely free with BOGO subs. Buy one, get one supplements on thealexjonesstore.com. The offer ends very soon. Of course, when it sells out, these products sell out. And of course, every single entry, every single dollar you spend gets 50 times entries to the raffle to win either one of these cars, the Ford Raptor or the Jeep 392, both just top of the line, brand new, incredibly decked out SUVs. Somebody's got to win them. Why not you? Go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And keep us on the air and in the fight. Of course, we cannot do it without you. And we don't just say that. It's not just us, you know, trying to spin you up here. Like, literally, we'll go away. We will actually go away forever. We do not have billionaires keeping us propped up. We do not have pharmaceutical companies keeping us propped up. All we have is you, and we appreciate so much when you go to thealexjonesstore.com and keep us afloat and on the air. I am going to get into the Somalis. I am going to get into the siege of Minneapolis, the conquering of Minnesota. And I have so much to get to about this. I'm not even going to be able to in this 3-hour show. There's more than you can even imagine. And I just I don't even know how to explain it. America is being screwed in so many different directions. Like, death by a thousand cuts doesn't even rise to it. Like, just scrolling through X today, it's just like Somali stealing billions of dollars. The CDL truck drivers being, you know, American truck drivers being screwed. Just immigration as a whole is just one gigantic con job screwing us out of our past and our future. But that's like just barely scratching the surface. And we've done this to ourselves. And that's what I want to try to emphasize to people. You know, like the devil's greatest trick is making people think he doesn't exist. Or as Alex puts it, making people think that good doesn't exist. The liberals' greatest trick is making people think this is inevitable. It's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is the War Room. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. What do you do during Christmas? During the Christmas season? Of course, you go to the mall. Of course, you got to go to the mall. You got to see the big tree and take pictures in front of it. If you got kids, you got to go sit on Santa's lap. You got to do shopping for your friends and family. It's just, the mall's not really what it used to be anymore, is it? I have very, very fond memories of the Galleria Houston. It's a giant ice skating rink right in the middle. It's just the perfect setting for Christmas. Maybe not so much in Minnesota. Maybe the most iconic mall of them all, Mall of America, might be a good place to start our discussion of what has happened with the Somalians in Minnesota. And there's a couple angles to take in this. But I think my point here, you know, there's that classic phrase, it's easier to trick somebody than convince somebody they've been tricked, fool somebody tell somebody they've been fooled. And that's sort of my obligation here, is I'm here to tell Americans, you have all been tricked. You have all been tricked, and you have all or continue to be tricked, and it's time to wake up from this. And it's time to stop listening to the liars and the tricksters making you a fool, and to really understand what the consequences of this trickery has been. So I can hear it now. Like, people have this, like the hair on the back of their neck stands up, and they get angry if you say something like, we need to get all of these freaking Somalians out of Minnesota. They feel like it's almost like you're attacking their character, because they're like, no, this is who we are. No, we're so open, we're so charitable, we're so good, and you are trying to steal that from us. And I'm here to tell you, there is nothing good, there is nothing moral, there is nothing ethical about being taken advantage of. And that's what's happening here. You are not a good person for giving to somebody who says they're a charity but then spends the money on a car. You're not a good person for being taken advantage of. And that's really what I want to emphasize. I want to wake people up, shake them out of their hypnotism, the coma that they're in, that has them thinking that what's going on right now is somehow inevitable, is somehow a natural consequence of the modern world. Not that you have the ability to stop this trajectory, deflect, re-aim it, but rather it's up to you to reform yourself to fit with the modern reality. And I always talk about how apparent this came to me, and it really is like hard to explain unless you experience it, going to somewhere like Japan. Because even if you don't consciously think it, it's just sort of assumed in America that all of the chaos, all of the crime, all of the insanity that we deal with on a daily basis is just part and parcel with the modern world. Like, the modern world is fast, it's chaotic, it's overcrowded, and it's just sort of, this is just what's going to happen because humans can only organize so well. And we're kind of constantly playing keep up to just, you know, the natural development of humanity. And then you go to somewhere like Japan and you go, wait a second, they're more modern than us, more and better technology than we have, better organized, you know, more integrated technological advancements. And there's none of that. There's none of the chaos. There's none of the havoc. There's none of the misery, at least not that you can see in the way that you can see it driving around a street in America. And so, you know, whether it's just like a homeless camp cropping up under the bridge, or the mall that you used to take your kids to becoming the war zone of gangs, these things don't just happen. They don't just occur. It's not just a natural development of humanity. They are the consequences of decisions made by people who desire these outcomes. It's on purpose. And I really don't understand people that grew up in the old world, the world that I was born into, the boomers out there that lived until they were 30 or 40 in an America that was largely homogenous, fairly safe, and certainly extremely aesthetically pleasing. And then to experience the 30 years of abject decline and to not be outraged by this. To look at what it used to be like, look at where it is now, and not be infuriated at the deliberate destruction that has been wrought on your home, against your family. I don't understand why people are okay with this. And the only reason I really think that the powers that be get away with it is because they've convinced people that this just occurs. I've said this many times, like, the key to being a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist and understanding how the world actually works is understanding that things don't just happen. You know, 50,000 Somalis didn't just crop up in the middle of Minnesota all of the sudden one day And they're all looking around like, what? How do we get here? And everybody else is going, I don't know. I guess we'll have to build houses for you. This is weird. This was a policy. It was deliberate. And the outcome was as designed. It's what we're experiencing now. I'm rambling a lot, but the point is, let's start it with clip 36. The point is, when I was 3 years old, this is what the country looked like. Clip 36. This is the Mall of America in Minnesota, biggest mall in the world. Sort of an icon of American capitalism. And this is what it looked like in 1993 during the winter break. Looks pretty nice. Looks pretty nice. And we just keep this going as B-roll. This was 1993. Now, the first Somalis arrived in Minnesota this year, 1993. This was the world they entered into. And we can skip ahead, skip around. This is like an hour-long home video footage. This isn't something produced by the Mall of America, giving you the best vision of it. This isn't something that, you know, I went through and chose in particular things that look particularly good. It's just a home video showing an average day at the Mall of America, looking like a freaking utopian theme park, full of happy people and families having fun, okay? It went from this to what it is now. We can go to clip 34 here, or clip 35, or any of these other clips. Goes from that to this. Oh, look, it's roving gangs of Somali youth beating each other. Look, it's turned into a war zone. What do you know? What do you know? And it is ironic that literally there's like a ton of videos of this fight in particular. But yeah, this is the same mall. Same Mall of America, only instead of, you know, happy families and polo shirts and khaki pants, you have a bunch of men in dresses wandering around fighting each other. Wow, incredible. Wait, was this a positive development? Are we doing better now than we were before the Somalis arrived? Did this just happen one day? Or is this the consequence of 3 decades of deliberate demographic replacement? And it is ironic that like these gangs of the Somali youth are fighting, and then there's like 3 white security guards have to come in and stop the chaos. As another example, Minnesota streets. These are, again, roving gangs of Somalis. Now, I keep using that phrase in particular because that's the phrase that the attorney general, or the district attorney, the county attorney for Hennepin County, clip number 21, that's the term she used when she says there are no roving gangs of Somali criminals. Okay, well, I just showed you like 4 videos of them. Let's go now to clip number 21.
County Attorney Mary Moriarty. There are reports that the Trump administration is planning to send ICE agents here to the Twin Cities to target our neighbors of Somali descent. This is part of a recent pattern to single out our Somali community members. This is rooted in the idea that if they spew hatred, it will divide us. But we won't let that happen. There are no roving gangs of Somali people in this community harassing, threatening, doing anything to any of our community members. And let me repeat that again, because I've heard this often. There are no roving gangs of Somalis targeting or harassing or doing anything inappropriate to any community members. Those are simply lies. It is not true.
It doesn't happen. Don't believe your lying eyes. See, this is the real battle that we're up against. To get to the Somalis, you got to get through the lesbian attorneys. The poor, innocent, loving Somalis are protected by a phalanx of your Ellen DeGeneres types. They're ready to make sure that no matter how many billions of dollars they steal, no matter how many children get raped or kidnapped, no matter how much the social services strain under the weight of a destitute and scam-ridden population, they will remain forever, okay? We have to get through those people first in order to eject the Somalis. So again, just abject, blatant lies There are no roving gangs of Somalis doing anything to anyone ever. This has been a established feature of Minneapolis for the last decade. Showed you the video yesterday from Alex Jones from a decade ago, and the song "We Love Our Somalis." Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet. You know that's because a Somali person had stabbed somebody at a mall 10 years ago, right? Because this has been an ongoing crisis for a decade. I can still remember videos from back in, I think, 2015, outside of the train station in Minneapolis, where you had a white guy coming home drunk at like 2 a.m, and there's a video somebody's filming from an apartment balcony, and it's just a gang of Somali youth just like taking turns jumping on him and kicking him in the head. It's actually kind of a regular feature now, 30 years after the immigration began. And, you know, as I was going through footage and looking for footage of the Mall of America, or, you know, just Somali Mall, I saw this one video, and I didn't save it because it wasn't what I was looking for, and now I can't find it, but I didn't realize till afterwards how sort of poignant it was. It's going to be kind of hard to explain, so stick with me. But the Somali community in Minnesota has recently been busted for running multiple billion-dollar scams to funnel money to terrorist groups in their homeland, Somalia. And a lot of people are out there saying this is a clash of cultures because Somalis are low trust. And they keep using that word. And it's often a word that's invoked when you're talking about, populations or, demographic homogeneity. As you hear, there's high trust and low trust societies. There's a difference, though. There's a problem with that, however. I'm looking for videos for a Somali mall. I find a video of a white guy who's going through a Somali shopping center in Minneapolis. I swear, I've searched for an hour to find this video again. I can't find it, so I'm just going to have to explain it to you. But he's walking around a Somali shopping center, and he's saying, yeah, we're like the only two white guys here. There's like a giant Somali flag painted on the ceiling. And he's going like floor to floor, and he's like, you know, the weird thing is a lot of these shops, if there's no customers, the people running the shop just leave. And so he's walking into stores where there's nobody there. And he's like, yeah, this is such a high trust society. They don't even worry about locking their stores or shutting the door to their stores if they're not there, because it's a high trust society. And I think that's key to understanding what's going on here. The Somalis are not a low trust society amongst themselves. Okay. It's not that just it's a population replete with criminals who are stealing from everybody they can. Within their own community, they don't even lock their doors. They don't steal from each other. They don't scam each other. So understand, when they're running these billion-dollar scams, it's not like they're scamming their own people. They know exactly what they're doing. They're scamming you. They're scamming the non-Somali people. They're scamming America and Americans, and they know that, which is why they do it. They don't scam themselves. This isn't a matter of just a low-trust population coming into an area and just committing crimes against everybody. No, it's a community. It's a population, unified, cohesive, one block, together, conspiring to scam everybody else. I think it's important to understand. That's why I really wish I'd grabbed this video, but it wasn't the video I was looking for. But then I just kept thinking about it because the guy goes, yeah, it's a really high trust community. They just leave their stores open. Anybody can walk in. I can walk out with anything I want now, but it's all Somalis here, so nobody does. It's not a low trust community. It's a high trust community for each other, for them. And then they scam everybody outside that community. It's not that complicated. But it tells you what we're actually dealing with here. Which actually, this should be good news for the anti-racist people. Because isn't it always like, oh, if you talk about Somali crimes, it's because you think Somalis just are innately criminal. It's like, well, if they were just innately criminal, they would be stealing from themselves too. If it was just a matter of it naturally occurs in the Somali brain, a low propensity for self-control and a high propensity for crime, then they would be stealing from themselves. They would be stealing from each other. That must not be what it is. It's not a naturally occurring inclination to steal. It's a very deliberate desire to steal from people that aren't them. I think it's a really important point to get across. And it's not just Somalis either, but let's just, I guess we'll stick with the Somalis for now, but this spirals out because there are lots of populations like this. You want to zoom in on the Somali population? You find billion-dollar scams. You find Medicare scams, welfare scams. They all are on government housing with $100,000 cards. I mean, you find scam after scam after scam. What do you think happens if you zoom in on the Afghan community? What do you think happens if you zoom in on the illegal South American communities? What do you think happens if you zoom in on the Haiti communities? This is just, it's the spotlight is on the Somalis right now. So crimes are coming to light. Do you think it's because it's the only population doing this? And the more you like realize just how much we're being scammed, it is truly incomprehensible. Like, I think, like, my brain is not capable of maintaining all of these different, like, I can't even think about all the scams going on at once. Because it's not just the illegal immigration, which is a scam in and of itself, and then taking our jobs, and then those corporations are lobbying for the government programs that give the welfare so they can lower the pay rate that they do, and then the housing prices go up, and it's just, and then they bring in all of their family, and it's just like, this is just one tiny facet on like the disco ball of this one little tiny frame on the many, many, many sided manifestation of scams in our country. And this is just like the lowest level stuff. That's not even getting into the real big scams where they're stealing $100 billion to kill Ukrainians. It's like we are just robbed relentlessly. And it's frankly a miracle we're still going at all, let alone the most powerful country in the world. It almost doesn't make any sense. I just keep getting an image of just like this elephant marching on, and it's just like 100 spears in its side. They've hit it with a cannon. They're just like 1,000-pound weights piled on top of it. They're tying up its feet, and we just keep marching on. And they're just like sucking gallons of blood out of us, and we just keep going. It's like we're so powerful, we're so strong, we're so prosperous that we can be scammed by 1 billion Somalis and 1 billion South Americans and 1 billion Jews and 1 billion Muslims, and it's just, we don't even notice. The vast majority of Americans don't even know what's going on. And it really is incredible. It really is something else. Let's go to clip number 24 here. This is Patrick Bet-David talking about just one program. That's just, again, just the amount of scams that we're suffering under is just truly unbelievable. Let's watch Patrick Bet-David.
Rob, you had one of the charts that you had up a minute ago, which was phenomenal, showing who's getting entitlement benefits. Check this out. This is family receiving welfare. So purple is illegal headed households. Red is legal immigrants. Blue is U.S.-born headed households.
The people we want to give the welfare to.
The people you
want to
give it to. And when you look at this, cash, go with a food. Look at what food looks like. Illegal, 48%. Legal, 38%. That becomes what? That's 82%. Whatever that number is, massive percentage. Percentage of it is those two. Then you have the Americans. People see numbers like this, they're like, what am I doing with my tax pay? Why am I paying taxes? To support who?
Why am I paying taxes? Because they'll kill you if you don't. Because they'll throw you in jail if you don't. No, you're being robbed at gunpoint to feed people who gleefully scam from you. In fact, Ilhan Omar was asked about this, and her answer was that it was our fault for making it too easy to scam. The Somalis just couldn't resist. They couldn't help themselves. It was our fault for making it so easy to scam us. Stupid Americans having a high trust society that has vulnerabilities because we want to take care of the less fortunate. We're so dumb. Let's go to clip number 23 here.
Can you shed any light on why the fraud got so out of control in Minnesota?
I think what happened is that, you know, when you have these kind of new programs that are designed to help people, you're oftentimes relying on third parties to be able to facilitate. And I just think that a lot of the COVID programs that were set up, they were set up so quickly that a lot of the guardrails did not get created.
Yeah, those guardrails didn't get created, so we robbed you for $1 billion. Yeah, it's your fault, really. You should have created guardrails to stop us from scamming you. You fools, how dare you do this to us? Really is incredible. During a 20-month period, the Feeding Our Future scammers billed over 125 million fake meals, claiming they were all for children, never made a meal. Clip 19 here.
The first seven defendants in this massive case are standing trial together, and their portion of the alleged scam is centered in Shakopee. At a strip mall just off the main drag in Shakopee, where Empire Cuisine and Market used to be located, Abdiaziz Farah and Muhammad Ismail claimed to serve millions of meals to Minnesota kids in 2020 and 2021. This portion of the alleged Feeding Our Future scheme involved $30 million in federal funds for which they weren't entitled, money laundering, extravagant purchases, and the help of six other defendants, according to federal prosecutors. Like many of the anecdotes made public in the $250 million Feeding Our Future case, some of the things the defendants in this first trial are accused of doing border on absurd. Prosecutors say the defendants claim to be serving meals to kids in places that make no sense, such as this big parking lot in Shakopee, or in derelict commercial spaces like this. According to court documents, the defendants created sham meal count sheets and phony attendance rosters with children names such as Man Sincere, Ron Donald, or even John Doe, names the Shakopee School District is expected to testify don't exist in their schools. Then, what was done with the money? Prosecutors say they will trace how the defendants used the federal money to buy vehicles, real estate, a down payment on a $2.5 million home build, and a honeymoon in the Maldives. The two main defendants were also charged with passport fraud, and Ismail pleaded guilty to that. But as to the alleged meal fraud, attorneys for the defendants say they did not knowingly defraud the government.
You didn't knowingly defraud the government. Yeah. It gets confusing. It gets a little confusing because of the sheer number, the volume, scale of these scams that this one community has brought to our shores in just the time that I've been alive. What you're just hearing there was one aspect of the Feeding Our Future scam. You heard the reporter say that. This is one part of the scam. That was just part of it, these two guys. I mean, it's much bigger than that. But then you've got the COVID scamming that Ilhan Omar was blaming on us not stopping them from scamming us. Okay. But then on top of that, you've got the welfare scam. You've got like this: DHS freezes new home and community-based care license for 2 years as applications explode 283%. That's the housing, the government housing scam that they're running. And that doesn't even, include the autism scam that they ran, where every single Somali person in Minnesota claimed to have a child with autism, got money from the federal government and sent it to Al-Shabaab, the terrorist group in Somalia. It's hard to even wrap your mind around or like start to talk about this because you're talking about one scam and 15 other scams crop up. Of course Ilhan Omar knows about it. She wrote the bill that allowed it all. I'll tell you about that on the other side. Let's just get all these people out of our country.
Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at theolivestonestore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now, a huge sale going right now. We will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning as each product sells out. So make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you can buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. For just the next 5 days, there's a typo in this ad, of course. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, you can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that newscom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain? Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that ultra DNA revival.
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Get a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.